If you want to support us at Clear Vision Revival, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, today we're going to talk about cooking. You know, when it comes to cooking meat, a side of lamb, you can do it two ways. You can put it in a slow cooker, and you can cook it for 8 hours, and it will be tender at the end of 8 hours. Or you can put it in a pressure cooker, and you can cook it for an hour, and you'll have the same effect. It'll be tender. But the two processes, one's long and slow, takes lots of patience, and the other one is fast and causes lots and lots of pressure. So what we've done is we didn't even know what we were doing, but we took the long road. What we did is we just sat down and just started praying for 5 hours first, for the first 3 months, and then about 3 to 4, sometimes 5 hours, for the next 6 years. And we went through the slow cooking stage, and God transformed us by the Holy Spirit, and we were able to see the progress and also be taught by the Holy Spirit in the process as we moved forward. And I was able to scripturally document all of the processes that happened to us, and the Lord did that for a reason, so that we could teach other people. So what we do now is we say to people, come here, because we carry the presence of God, we will put our hands on you, and the power of God will come upon you, and he will move you further up the track. So instead of you going through a pressure cook for an hour and suffering great turmoil in your life and having great tearing in your life, having great pressure, what God does is, through his kindness, his loving kindness, is that we've gone through the pressure cooking, and we're full of God, and we know the process. And we can say to you, if you sit down and you pray in tongues, and you read your Bible, and you meditate on the Word of God, and you get it in context, and you fast every now and then, and learn to worship God and get in His presence, then you will, over a period of years, be transformed. But what we do now to people is that we put our hands on them, the power of God goes over them, and it transforms them quicker. So if it took a person to get from A to B, maybe it took him 5 years, and he is transformed by the renewing of his mind through the Holy Spirit and the Word, and he has overcome the world, he's overcome his idiosyncrasies, his shortcomings, his failings, all of the buttons that the enemy pushes to get him going are disconnected, and the person is showing fruit in the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh, and is settled down and is walking in peace and joy and love, and is full of understanding of the kingdom of God and how it works, and has authority and power, and is able to walk in that transforming power. Well, that might take 5 or 6 years. But we can go up to them and pray for them, and the power of God goes over them, and it chases away all of the stuff, it disconnects all the buttons, all the things that hinder, all the weights that does easily beset us. It sets the captives free, the anointing that the Lord has given us. So instead of them sitting down for 5 years and nice and quietly, day after day, transforming themselves through the power of God, and at the end coming out as a changed, transformed person that is holy and godly in thinking and in action, right, and in ability, instead, we put our hands on them, the power of God comes over them, and they are transformed really quick. I'm talking about within days. You know, there's some people, we go around to their house, you know, when these are people in the revival center, we lay hands on them, and they don't even know what's going on. We say to them, look, we're going to pray for you, and God's going to change you. So we just say, submit yourself to the Lord, not to us, to the Lord. And just open your heart up. We pray for them, and the power of God goes over them, and they are transformed. We come back the next week and they say to us, I don't know what it is. I feel free. I feel light. I feel clean. I feel there's lack of static in my head. I'm no longer dwelling or thinking negative things. I'm no longer thinking about things that are not in alignment with the kingdom of God. I'm thinking about God all the time, and I'm praying, and I'm reading my Bible, and I have great joy in praying and reading my Bible. And they know that it's because of the power of God. So we didn't come in and give them a great sermon to try and rev them up and say, you can do it, you can do it. All we did was lay our hands on them, and the power of God came over them and transformed them and got them up. We say if a person from A to B took 5 years, we get them about 3 years up the track, right? And then they just got to finish the other 2 years off. That's good value for the saints. And so we have great pleasure, great joy in seeing people time after time after time being transformed. Matter of fact, when they are transformed, they gather their friends around, and then, or their brothers and sisters, and they call us in and we pray for them, and they all get on fire, and they get on fire in varying degrees depending on who they are and depending on how much transformation God can get into them at that time. It's really all about the heart, because if the heart is shut, God can't do much. But when the heart is open because of brokenness, because of tiredness, because they have given up the fight of holding themselves, because one of the hardest things a person has to do is to die to themselves. That's to die to their own likes and dislikes, to their own value system, and take up God's value system, to take up God's likes and dislikes. And sometimes our likes and dislikes are out of alignment with the kingdom of God and his plan and purpose for us. So God won't work with us in unrighteousness. God is holy, and he can't dwell with unrighteousness. So he can only work with the transformed part in us. So as we are transformed, he works in greater capacity with us. And then we go on further and further into that transformation, and his presence and his power dwells over us, and it ramps up. So we go from glory to glory. We go from being defeated, being broken and smashed up, to being an overcomer, more than an overcomer, because of God's transforming power through the Holy Spirit. It's all about the blood. It's all about the love. It's all about faith. It's all about patience. It's all about hope. It's all about truth. It's all about the light. It's all about life, Zoe life, effervescent life. All about these things. It's all about these things, and these things are encapsulated in Jesus, in the revelation of Jesus. You know, just believing that Jesus is Lord, and that, you know, he died on the cross, and that his blood has washed you clean, that's wonderful. But if you don't have it functioning in your life, then all you've got is words. You know, you get a lot of people, they get up and they talk about healing, and they talk about all the scriptures about healing, and they quote all the scriptures, and they do all of the wonderful things, and they speak about, they go back to the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they talk about all of the marvelous testimonies and everything, but they can't do anything. They say, okay, everybody come down the front, we'll pray for you, nobody gets healed. So all they've got is scriptures. That's all they've got. That's a good start, but that's not the end of it, and that's definitely not the place where you need to pitch your tent up. You need to walk in the things of God. You need to allow God to transform you so that you can walk in the miraculous, so you can walk in the transforming power of God, so that you can go and set the captives free, so that you can go and transform your environment around you, and then transform other people's environment, or help them. And you collectively come together in love and in unity through the Holy Spirit, and transform a greater part of your life, of your community, right? It's not about doing good works, as in, you know, giving people blankets and soup kitchens and all of those things. It's about transforming a dark, miserable, broken down community into something that has God breathed on it. And then salvation comes. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. People get saved. People get baptized. People have their lives transformed. You know, that's really the whole outcome, is that the kingdom of God comes upon us and overtakes us and transforms us. It's not about our own efforts to transform ourselves. If we do that, then that can become dead works, because, you know, we're just doing it under our own strength, and our own strength does not work. Our own strength, if it worked, we would have had this thing all done by now. But the only way that we can continue on in victory is that if we marshal ourselves towards the Holy Spirit, we just say, Lord, I just submit myself to you. Unfortunately, this is a big unfortunately, is that we have lots of strongholds. And those strongholds are taught to us by people who have a lesser understanding of God than they should have. They have likes and dislikes. They hypothesize of who God really is, and not according to the scriptures, but according to their own experiences, of whether it be good or bad. And they try to make scriptures fit around those experiences. We want to be scriptural people, and we know that God will line up with the scriptures, because the word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. The Lord told me once that if you dishonor his word, then you dishonor Jesus. If you dishonor Jesus, you dishonor his word. So anybody who doesn't hold the word of God precious, right, then they're really dishonoring Jesus, because he is the word of God. Right? If you dishonor the word and say, well, there's some parts of the Bible I like and some parts I don't like. There's some parts of the Bible I know and some parts of the Bible I don't know. I don't understand. So there are people who, when they don't understand things, they want to pull things down. Because they don't understand things, they live in fear that they're going to get it wrong. You know, Peter was a marvelous person. He stepped out the boat. He was the guy who cut the servant's ear off. You know, he was the guy who said to Jesus, you know, you're not going to Jerusalem, you're not going to die. And Jesus even rebuked him. You know, Peter was an impulsive person. You can, if you read about it, Peter was a very impulsive person. He leaped before he thought. But then there was John. Now, John was a very quiet, he was always laying next to Jesus. And then there was James. You know, James seemed to be, if you look through all of the word, James seemed to be a very level-headed person. So Jesus had these three people around him. So we don't always have to be a stereotype, perfect, perfect, perfect. All we have to do is be ourselves, wrapped in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God will chip off all of the rough stuff. God wants to celebrate your individuality. He doesn't want us to be clones of some sort. He wants us to be individual, wrapped in the anointing. God wants to celebrate your individuality. He wants to take all the junky parts of your individuality and he wants to throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. He wants to transform your mind so that the essence of your individuality is clothed in righteousness through the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do. Then he can fellowship with you. He can only fellowship with the transformed part of you. He can't fellowship with the untransformed part of you, because God can't dwell with unrighteousness. He won't party, or he won't have fellowship, or he won't come into agreement with unrighteousness. So God won't dwell with your negative feelings. God won't dwell with your negative actions. God will only bless the part that lines up with the kingdom of God. And as you pray in the Holy Spirit, read the word of God and meditate on it, you'll find that your alignment will come even further into the kingdom of God. And God, and a greater capacity of God or his presence will dwell over you. You know, I went up to a guy the other day, and he said his wife had cancer, breast cancer. Now, this guy didn't even, he wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit or nothing. And I never witnessed to him. I just told him, well, I'm a Christian. I said, look, I said, we'll come over to your house and we'll see what we can do. And I tapped him on the shoulder as a sort of a, she'll be right, mate, sort of thing. So I tapped him on the shoulder, and I didn't spend hours talking to him. I was talking to him for probably maybe 4 minutes, 3 minutes maybe. And I just, he just mostly spent all of the 3 minutes telling me about how miserable his life was, and his wife has got cancer and all this stuff and everything, and he's her carer and all this and everything. And all I said is, look, my wife and I will come around your house and we'll help you. And I tapped him on the shoulder, right? I said, we're Christians. I tapped him on the shoulder, and he goes, what did you do? And I said, what? He said, when you touched me, something went through me. It just went all through me. A power went through me. And I said, oh, that's the power of God. You know, I didn't pray for him. I didn't say, okay, bow your head, and we're just going to pray on, you know. And I started praying and, you know, speaking great big wonderful words in a prayer or anything like that. All I just touched him. That's all I did. And the power of God came out of me and into him and changed him. Somewhere changed him. He went home to his little flat, and we turned up about half an hour later. And his wife says to us, what did you do to him? When he came home, he sat on the lounge, he just started crying. And I mean, this guy's a hardened person. He was a street guy. He wasn't a wussy guy. This guy, he's rough. He's a truck driver. Okay, so she said, what did you do to him? And I said, all we did was just touch him. The power of God came over him. He came home and he started crying. He didn't just like do a little couple of little tears. He really cried, deep cries. And she was amazed. Anyway, so we ended up praying for her and praying for him and all the whole thing. But I won't go into that, but I really want to talk about that you can carry the presence of God in such a capacity that wherever you go, you can affect people's lives without hardly doing anything, because the power of God goes before you, right? And it transforms people's lives. And people know who you are without you happening to announce who you are or explain who you are. They just know deep down that you're of God. They don't know who God is. They don't know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They don't know any of that stuff. They just know that you're of God. They know that you're of God. They go, whatever God it is, you're the one. We know that you're holy. And they have respect for it. They have respect for it because, you know, they know there's a power over you that's greater than the power they know. And that gives us a great opportunity to speak into their life. It gives us a great opportunity to lay hands on them. And then God does all the talking. You know, God, he's really good at explaining himself. You know, the kingdom of God comes by revelation. It doesn't come by academic prowess. It doesn't come by going to university for 3 years. It doesn't even come by reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 30 times. Matter of fact, you can know more about God when God touches you through revelation than you can if you read the Bible 50 times. You would know a lot about God, but you wouldn't know of God. You would know a lot about what the Bible says, but you haven't had an experience. And our first experience is when we get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues, we open our eyes up, and we're changed. You know, that's the first experience. And when people tell you that that's the only experience you're going to have and that's it, that's all, folks, they're shortchanging you. They are shutting you out of the kingdom of God or a greater capacity to walk in. You know, people who say those things or teach those things, they don't know anything about the operation of the kingdom of God. They might be good at getting people baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's it. They can heal a headache. If you've got cancer, they can say, they can pray for you and pray for you and pray for you, and you may get healed, but you may not. It's a bit of a bit of a lucky dip sort of thing. Who wants to walk in a lucky dip Christianity? We have a sure hope. We have sure, like sure and precious promises given to us. They are yea and amen. That means we provide the amen. Okay, we come into alignment with them. They're not something that we just hope will happen. We have a sure foundation. So when we go to people's houses, people ring us up and they say, "I've got cancer." So that's okay. The Lord will heal you. You know, and we see great miracles. I go to people on the street and they've got arthritis and their fingers are all twisted up, and I say, "Come here." I put my hands on them and the power of God comes over them and their hands straighten up right in front of their eyes. Now, I mean, that's a great witness. And when I say to them, "You need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit," I get a resounding yes. Okay, so I don't need to sit down for 5 hours and teach them about every single scripture. They're responding to the presence of God that's miraculously transforming their life. You know, the guy at the gate beautiful, when Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none," then he said, "Well, you know, and then there's this scripture and this scripture and this scripture and this scripture. We need to prepare you for your new life, and there's this scripture and this scripture and this scripture, and you need to come to a couple of meetings." No, they just reached down and lifted him up, right? Yeah, then there was, Philip and the eunuch. You know, that's a classic. Philip and the eunuch. All he said was, "Here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" He said, "Okay, let's go down." That's it. You know, we don't even have a record that he received the Holy Spirit. I mean, maybe he didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe later on, a year later, or a week later, or a minute later, I don't know, he received the Holy Spirit. Maybe he received the Holy Spirit in the water, but there was no account of that. Okay? So, you know, and Philip didn't spend hours with him explaining to him about coming to meetings and about praying for 3 hours a day and about the blood and about that you need to come into the unity of the Spirit. We need to pray in tongues and that we need to understand the Old Testament and follow it and walk in it, because that was the Word of God in those days. They didn't have the New Testament. All of those things. No. As soon as he came up out of the water, Philip, we got taken away by the Holy Spirit, ended up 15 miles in another town. You know, and then there's Peter. He turns up to this Gentiles guy at this house, Cornelius, and he starts saying, "You know, I think God's been leading me here, you know, and I'm sure God's going, 'Duh, didn't you pick this up a long time ago, Peter?' You know, Peter says, 'I think this is God.'" And as he starts talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, I mean, he just breaks into his sermon. I mean, that's just uncalled for. What about things being done decently in order? You know, the Holy Spirit breaks into his sermon and fills them with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't even get a chance to go through Acts chapter 2 and Acts 10:44 and Acts 19 and Jude 20. And a few others somewhere else, and whatever. You didn't have the chance to do that. You know, this kingdom of God is dynamic and powerful, and God is quite capable of securing his people. But he needs us to partner with him, not in a religious form or in a form that has stop, start, start, stop, that has just lots and lots of regulations and lots of procedures and all of this stuff. You know, I had this guy once, I was praying for him, it was about 20 years ago or so, and he was going from one town to the next, and I caught him. He's just going to a shop just to have a drink before they went on to the next town, because they were traveling from one end of Australia to another. And I prayed for him. And one of the brothers said to me, "You shouldn't have done that. You should have taken him to a meeting. And if you couldn't get him to the meeting, you should have taken him to a pastor." You know, I thought that guy wouldn't have had anybody pray for him if that would have happened. He just wasn't stopping for a couple of hours. He was stopping for minutes. So all I had to do was do what I had to do, and that's it, you know. And there are other people who say, "We shouldn't have even prayed for him. because you couldn't get him to a meeting. I think, you know, you need to belong to a real world and need to understand that God is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, that doesn't mean that we shun our responsibilities in discipling people. We need to disciple them. But God organizes everything. And if we can't, because of circumstances, disciple somebody, then let it be, because God orders our steps. God is in control, and this is his show. All we have to do is just get full of God so that we can hear his voice and that we can go to the places that he sends us and that we can perform the power that flows out of us that he sends. We walk in this dunamis power. We walk in this transforming power that we carry because we hear his voice, we spent time with God, we understand him because we sat at the feet of Jesus and understood the Father through the lens of the Holy Spirit, and he has revealed unto us the secret things. If we do those things, then it's really easy. We don't have to do much at all. Really, I don't have to do anything at all. All I do is just get full of God, and then God does all the appointments for me. That's all I do is I just get full of God. I delight myself in God 24/7, delight myself in God. I just walk around all day thinking about God. I just pray and I just worship and I just tell God how much I love him and how wonderful my life is, because it is wonderful, because I'm a blessed man, because he provides all that I need. He gives me peace and joy, and he covers me in this in his presence that supersedes any experience that you can have in this life. You know, the Bible says that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know that being in the presence of God is the greatest pleasure that you will ever experience in this life, in such a way that you won't want any other pleasure. You won't want to participate in any other pleasure, but being in his presence, right? The fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And when you find those things in God, you have found a hiding place. You've found a place of water, of refreshing water. Your life is effervescent. It is life more abundant. And then when you go out, God organizes everything for you. You're like Philip and the eunuch. He just sends you to the right place. Philip didn't go out looking for the eunuch. He just did what the Holy Spirit told him. An angel told him to go to this town or go to this road, and then the Holy Spirit told him to attach himself to that chariot. That's it. That's all we do. We do exactly the same stuff over and over again. I do not go on any roads waiting on a chance that someone might come along that I could witness to. I don't go to a supermarket looking for someone to witness to. I don't go knocking on a door on a random chance that somebody may listen. I don't go down the street, trawling the main street, looking for an individual that I may be able to witness to. I don't do any of that anymore. All I do is delight myself in God. And then when I'm out and about doing my stuff, God taps me on the shoulder and says, "See that guy over there? He's one of mine. I need you to speak to him." And I just go over, and God's already in it. God's already prepped the person. I don't have to do anything except turn up with the power of God, covered in the power of God. You know, that's it. How easy is that? You know, if you could get to that place, and we're teaching people to get to that place real quick, I mean, within weeks, people are getting to that place. People's lives are totally being transformed. They're amazed. Because first we're laying hands on them, getting rid of all of the junky stuff off of them that's been dogging them for years, and they're free to serve God and free to be in his presence, because his presence turns up fairly quick, and then they start being transformed and they're on their journey. And in between that, they go out and they see people, and I tell people, don't strive about witnessing to people. I say to people, listen, When you come into this new experience of God, which is really not a new experience, but it's a biblical, always old experience, it's there, it's always been there, It's just that the Catholic Church never walked in it, the Baptist Church have never walked in it, the Anglican Church have never walked in it, and I'm just saying, have you walked in it? Or do you continually walk in it? And if you do, you don't need me. But if you don't, then let us help you. Let us help you transition from where you are into His marvelous light so that you can transform other people's lives, not by your own intelligence and your words of knowledge, but I'm talking about the dunamis power of God, the presence and the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit. And you can enter into the rest and let God do all the work, right? So you, that's what God wants you to do, enter into His rest so that you can spend not just on a Saturday or a Sabbath thinking about God, drawing aside from the whole week. You can spend your whole life in the rest, thinking about God all the time, dwelling in His presence and being amazed at the revelation that He gives you, right? And then when He needs you, He says, that person. And that's it. I mean, that is a wonderful walk. And it is not just for individuals, certain individuals. It's for everybody who will put their hand up and say, I want to enter into the rest. I don't want to do it my own way. I want to enter into the dynamics of the kingdom of God. I don't want to try and have my own agenda. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to cast down every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus. I want to take into captivity every thought that is not of the kingdom of God. And I'm bringing my mind into alignment with the kingdom of God so that I can walk in love, peace, joy, faith, hope. I can walk in the grace of God. The grace of God is an empower. It's a power source, the grace of God, that we can utilize. And, you know, so this is a dynamic walk. And you know what? It's easy. That's the good part. It's not hard. It's easy. You know, it's just so easy. Jesus said, take upon me my yoke and learn of me. He said, it's easy. I'm easy. I'm not a hard person to teach. I want to make your life easy. Now, I'm not talking about free from persecution, because the Bible says those who live godly will suffer persecution, and they get the persecution from those who don't live godly, right? So those who live godly get persecuted from those who don't live godly. Those who live godly get persecuted from those who don't live godly. That's just the way it is, because we live in a fallen world. But when all of us get together who are walking in the light, come together, we have perfect alignment with each other, and we are able to fellowship in the light, and it's a glorious thing to see brothers and sisters who are on fire, who are in alignment with the kingdom of God. All the thinking is alignment, and the words that come out of their mouth are words of joy, peace, hope, and wonderment about how wonderful God is. It's a wonderful thing to see a dozen and a half people that are just jumping around like jackrabbits for joy that God is so, so good. Okay, so we'll leave it there.
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.